I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevieve, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It is not a death warrant. It's not a death warrant. I spoke at length this morning before the show, did an interview with an Idaho lawmaker who sponsored the wolf hunting legislation that has become the point of controversy. And he says it's not a death warrant, that Idaho just is not getting a fair shot at explaining why the state must eliminate 1,300 wolves. And we're going to hear more from his interview in a moment. But first, here's part of it.
We're not trying to wipe out the wolf population, but we are trying to manage it and control it. I wish that the news media would speak the truth, because that's what we're dealing with here in Idaho.
Idaho is trying to reduce the wolf population from 1,500 wolves to 150 wolves. Now, you can say it's not a death warrant, but if you're going to kill 1,300 wolves, I mean, that's a death warrant. Now, it may be necessary, but, you know, let's call it what it is. That is a massive reduction, 90% reduction.
Okay, hold on a second there. At first blush, when I read the headline, I did cringe. I did. And then after speaking to him today, I got a much better understanding of why Idaho is pursuing this avenue. Now, the Humane Society of Utah, the U.S., excuse me, called the show yesterday. And they are the ones that called it a death warrant for wolves. And they called the methods that are being used horrific. Let's play part of our interview with Amanda White of the Humane Society of the United States.
Aims to cut the population by 90%. And the methods that are allowed under this new law are just horrific and devastating. You know, poisoning and snaring, they lead to really cruel deaths. You know, wolf snaring, they can take a long time to die in those snares, and they don't always. So it crosses an ethical line.
And it makes my heart sink. It makes my heart sink. So I called up Idaho Senator Van Burtenshaw this morning. I want you to hear part of the conversation I had with him, because he really feels as though Idaho has not getting a fair shake in telling its side of the story. He started this conversation, Dave, with me by sharing an example of what wolves have done to the cattle and the sheep herds in Idaho. And it broke my heart to hear what's happening to the sheep. He told me what happened to one of his fellow lawmakers. He had a sheep herd. It has been met time and time again by packs of wolves. Let's listen.
He's kept track of over $400,000 worth of livestock. And among that livestock, the wolves have killed about 39 of his guard dogs in the process. So it isn't like he hasn't tried to take measures to watch over his sheep, but if those wolves come in packs, they kill those dogs pretty quick and then have access to the sheep.
How many businesses can handle a $400,000 loss?
Well, my heart sank for the dogs.
39 dogs?
Yeah.
That's
incredible.
I'm
a dog owner.
Yeah.
I'm a dog owner. My heart sank for the dogs. So I'm starting to see now the other side of the story. I'm starting to see why lawmakers and why the governor put this law in place. And I know there are people who don't agree with it, and I'm not for or against it. I'm just trying to share both sides of the story here. So Senator Burtenshaw told me that this hunting will happen on private property. Okay, that's another angle that I don't think we've delved enough into. It's on private property, so it has to be with the permission of the rancher or the person who owns the land. And one of the other questions I had was, and he went into, is, you know, there's 1,500 of them. That's so many. And he said, look, we set up game cameras. They set up 500 motion-sensored game cameras that captured 7 million photographs to identify that they have 1,500 wolves. And they, if they didn't invite hunters and trappers to help with this, there's no way a few state wildlife employees could kill 1,300 wolves. Let's listen to what he said about that.
Last year, we sold nearly 50,000 tags, and only 500 wolves were taken. They're tough to hunt. They're apex predators. They're smart. They're intelligent. And they travel large distances. And so they, if they depredated in your herd today, you may not see them because they'll be 100 miles away in the next couple of days. So it makes it tough. And most guys buy a tag when they hunt. They might buy a wolf tag with it in case they run into a wolf. They have the ability to take a wolf. That's all we're doing. We're not trying to wipe out the entire population, but we are trying to manage them.
Well, that gives great insight to why they've expanded the way you can hunt wolves, bringing in helicopters and snowmobiles and ATVs and using night vision goggles. How many tags did he say that they gave out?
50,000. And they were only able to eliminate 500 wolves.
And let's be honest, if you're putting in for a wolf tag, you're a serious hunter. So you're probably not dealing with the brand new people getting these tags. And if the good hunters are coming back unsuccessful most of the time, then, yeah, you can see why you would need some more extreme measures.
Steve Alder is with a nonprofit, Idaho for Wildlife. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Are you in favor of this new law in Idaho?
Very much so.
Why?
We've been pushing this for probably close to a decade because we've watched firsthand what wolves have done to our backcountry. We've got areas in Idaho that have lost 80 to 90% of their elk. We were told before we got wolves that the 100 wolves we would get would not have a negative impact on our elk. And so we end up with 10 to 15 times as many wolves. And what do you think happens? I mean, we, based on the environmental impact statement, we had in 94, May of 94, 100 wolves would take out 10 cattle, 57 sheep, not affect bull elk hunting, and only take 10 to 15% of our cow elk. And in 2018 alone, we had 198 livestock incidents resulting in 482 livestock deaths, 225 cattle, 243 sheep, 8 dogs, 3 llamas, 2 horses, and a goat. So that's 700% more livestock killed than what we agreed to in 94.
What's the right number then? I mean, obviously 1,500 is so much more
than the right number what we agreed to was 110 packs. And that's what we agreed to. And after years of lawsuits, we had to attach a rider to the budget in 2011 to get it out of the court system so it would not be subject to judicial review. So we're managing for the 10 packs and 100 wolves, but the state said, no, we'll go to 15 packs and 150 wolves to give you a buffer zone. And that's been ignored for a decade. Idaho Fish and Game has allowed that to go tenfold, and that's why the legislators moved in and says, this has got to stop. We're going to finally control this and get control of what's going on.
Steve Alder with the nonprofit Idaho for Wildlife, thank you so much for calling in and weighing in with your opinion on this controversial decision to kill hundreds of wolves in the state of Idaho. So straight ahead, we're going to continue the conversation. We got a Utah hunting expert. He's going to weigh in as well on why Idaho must eliminate more than 1,300 wolves.
Dave and Dejanovic.
A new law in Idaho allows 90% of the wolf population to be killed. It'll go from 1,500 wolves to 150 wolves.
The way this wolf devastation is taking place, without our big game herds and our animals, this will be a desert. The Canadian wolf is the most cruel, vicious predator in North America.
That is a report on wolves in Yellowstone from 60 Minutes.
Yeah, the question we're chasing down today is, a 90% reduction of wolves in Idaho, is that too much? Because if I remember high school science videos correctly, wolves play a very important role in our ecosystem.
We all know that wolves kill various species of animals, but perhaps we're slightly less aware that they give life to many others. So the wolves, small in number, transform not just the ecosystem of the Yellowstone National Park, this huge area of land, but also its physical geography.
In just a few moments, we'll talk to an expert that has been intimately involved in drafting this legislation, finding what the right number of wolves and what kind of role they should play in America.
And it's legislation that the Humane Society of the United States does not like at all. In fact, they called the show yesterday and they said this is equivalent to a death warrant for wolves.
It's shocking. And the methods that are allowed under this new law are just horrific and devastating. Shooting from helicopters, aerial gunning, shooting mothers and pups in their dens. It's just horrific.
Don Pei was appointed by the Secretary of the Interior to the Hunting and Shooting Sports Conservation Council. Don, thanks for joining us. Is it true that the only good wolf is a dead wolf?
No, you know, wolves are amazing animals. They're incredibly intelligent. I mean, hearing a wolf howl in the wilderness is an amazing experience. I've shared it many times. Also been surrounded by six sets of yellow eyes at close range in the middle of the dark, and I know what that feels like too. But here's the problem, and thanks for having me on. You know, the original agreement when the wolves were brought in under Secretary Babbitt, all of the groups said we can have 150 wolves in Idaho, 150 wolves in Montana, 150 wolves in Wyoming. And had the environmental groups kept to their word, which they never do, the wolves wouldn't have been a problem. They grew exponentially, and let me put this in elk terms. 1,500 wolves kill 35,000 plus elk a year, and that's why the elk herds in the Frank Church wilderness are gone. That's why when you go to Yellowstone, you don't see any moose. The northern Yellowstone elk herd went from 22,000 to less than 2,000. So wolves, you know, they're great, they're awesome, but they're the most efficient predators there are. And they don't self-regulate. They destroy their game populations, and then they kill each other.
So we talked to the Humane Society of the United States on the show yesterday, Don, and this was their claim, that the wolves control their own population. Let's listen to what they said.
You know, wolves really manage their own populations just fine based on available prey and habitat. And so there's really just no need to externally manage them through hunting and trapping.
Do you agree with that, Don?
Well, you know, the Humane Society is the ultimate example of wolves in sheep's clothing. They never tell the truth. They have an agenda different from what they say. They portray the animals as what they're not. So what happens is wolves, when they put them into Yellowstone, they grew exponentially. They caused an exponential decline in the wildlife populations, and then they killed each other. So is that self-regulation? No. Man's part of the system. With hunting regulations, we carefully can manage the elk populations, the moose populations, keep a fairly status quo number. It's a multi-billion dollar economy. It provides food for our tables. It provides amazing outdoor experiences. So it's a fairy tale to say, it's a partial truth to say they control their populations. They do in boom and bust cycles, and in the end, there's very few moose, very few elk, and very few wolves. So why do we want to destroy abundance to allow self-natural regulation?
Well, and Don, the wild is a vicious beast, and quite honestly, you shared with me some of the pictures of how wolves self-regulate and how they would kill the mother, and they... I don't know how else to explain it. It's pretty graphic, but quite honestly, they would eat the hearts out of the babies and leave the rest to rot.
I think we needed a little ears warning on that. Sorry, parents. Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
Sorry. Yeah. I mean, that's the reality. The Humane Society says we want to have, you know, these careful hunting regulations. Well, wolves, here's how they hunt. They have big feet. They chase a herd of elk or a herd of deer who fall through the snow with their hooves. They carve out one of them. They kill the female, the pregnant female. And then I showed you the pictures. They literally eat the fetus, and they leave the mother to rot. And, you know, the reason the pioneers got rid of the wolves is because not too long ago, a pack got in up near Idaho, and they killed 200 domestic sheep and left them lay. Up on a Wyoming elk feed ground, they killed 27 elk in one night and left them lay. And so, you know, there's the fairy tale version, and then there's what the wolf is. And that's why they need to be managed, because they have dramatically decreased the populations of elk and moose and wild sheep in Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and Wisconsin and Minnesota.
We're talking live right now to Don Pay, who's appointed by the Secretary of the Interior to the Hunting and Shooting Sports Conservation Council. And we're talking about the Idaho and its plan to eliminate some 1,300 wolves, get it down to about 150. Senator Burtenshaw, Van Burtenshaw from Idaho, I spoke to him earlier before the show, Don, and he mentioned something to me that I was totally unaware of. First of all, just, you know, full transparency, I'm not a hunter. So I don't know what it takes to hunt anything other than for my car keys. So he explains that they gave out like 50,000 tags last year, and they were only able to eliminate 500 wolves. I want to play a short clip from my interview with the senator.
They're tough to hunt. They're apex predators. They're smart. They're intelligent. And they travel large distances.
So take me on a hunt for a wolf, Don. I mean, is that something that is just impossible for a novice to hunt, a wolf?
Yeah, well, let me just first say, you know, I've been a part of Sportsman for Fish and Wildlife, and we've raised over $500 million over the last 30 years. And so when you see an elk, a bighorn, a moose, a mountain goat, a bison in Utah's amazing lands, they weren't here 30 to 40 years ago. They've been restored through the wildlife resources. And so that's why hunters in Utah are saying we're not going to let them come in and destroy what we've spent a lifetime to build. Now, I've hunted for 50 years. I'm fortunate enough to go to Canada every year. And, you know, I've taken a lot of animals. I've guided over 100 hunters who've taken animals. In 30 years, I've had one shot at a wolf. So that's they're mostly out at night. They're difficult. And so once again, what's Idaho saying? We're going back to the original agreement. The environmentalists and Secretary Babbitt said we'll have 150 wolves in Idaho. So they're going back to the original agreement. It's going to take aggressive action to get them there. And, I know some Navy SEALs and Army Rangers that are going to get night vision, and they're going to go do what they're trained to do, take out the terrorists. That's a wolf.
Don Pay, thank you so much for joining us. I said it yesterday. It sounded like Navy SEAL stuff. And Don just explained it. He said that's probably exactly who's going to have to come out and hunt these wolves, because the law does allow for helicopters to chase these wolves. I think you can even shoot from the helicopter.
Okay, can I call a timeout on that? Yes, that is true right now. But in my conversation with Senator Burtenshaw, he was very transparent that this may run into some issues, shooting from the helicopters, because wolves are considered big game. And shooting big game from helicopters, from what he told me, is not allowed. So they will probably have to go back during a session, the Idaho legislative session in January, and revisit that. But yes, for right now, that is part of the law, along with using snowmobiles, along with using night vision. As you said, Dave, it sounds very Navy SEAL-ish.
Yeah, and if you're a hunter, this would be a huge thrill. But I don't think this is thrill hunting. From the interviews we've done and the way that people have explained this, it is not about the thrill of the hunt. It's about managing livestock herds, whether it's livestock, elk population, deer. This is what they're dealing with. And it's been a fascinating conversation, something that you and I have very little experience with as far as hunting. But I think it's an important conversation to have.
So a lot of folks weighing in on your Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line, our listeners, saying thank you for sharing both sides of this issue. Yesterday, we talked to the Humane Society of the United States, clearly against this new Idaho law. Today, we talked to the lawmaker who sponsored the legislation. He explained why he sponsored it. We just talked to Don Pay, who is a Utah expert, who has intimate knowledge about hunting, and he said why it's important. We want your calls now. 801-575-TALK. It's your turn to talk. You're hunting wolves in Idaho. Do you think it's vicious? Or do you think it's necessary? We're taking your call straight ahead. Again, 801-575-TALK.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Look, when you read the headline, it says 90%. 90%. That's how many wolves Idaho wants gone, killed, exterminated. What we just learned is something behind the headlines that I didn't know. What this actually is an attempt to return to the original agreement that was set in place by then Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt to manage the wolf population in Idaho at 150. They're at 1,500 wolves right now, and that's why Idaho Senator Van Bertenshaw, when I talked to him this morning, says he's frustrated with media coverage. That has not been fair.
We're not trying to wipe out the wolf population, but we are trying to manage it and control it. I wish that the news media would speak the truth, because that's what we're dealing with here in Idaho.
We just spoke to Don Pay. He's on the Hunting and Shooting Sports Conservation Council. He was appointed to that position by the former U.S. Secretary Zinke, Secretary of the Interior. Mm-hmm. And this is what he had to say just a moment ago, explaining how challenging the hunt can be.
In 30 years, I've had one shot at a wolf. So that's how they're mostly out at night. Mm-hmm. They're difficult. And so once again, what's Idaho saying? We're going back to the original agreement. The environmentalists and Secretary Babbitt said we'll have 150 wolves in Idaho. So they're going back to the original agreement. It's going to take aggressive action to get them there. And, I know some Navy SEALs and Army Rangers that are going to get night vision, and they're going to go do what they're trained to do, take out the terrorists. That's a wolf.
And they will use helicopters, chasing them on snowmobiles and ATVs, using night vision equipment. I said yesterday it sounded like some Navy SEAL stuff. And then Don Pay is like, I actually know Navy SEALs that would do this.
We are getting a ton of phone calls on this, Dave, so I think we should just get right to the phone lines right now. The question that we're asking, is it vicious and vindictive or necessary and overdue? 801-575-TALK. Over the last 2 days, we've had both sides of the story. The Humane Society of the United States calling this nothing more than a death warrant for wolves. They're completely against this new law. Mark, you live in Utah County, but I understand you were an Idaho lawmaker when the wolves were introduced. Give us the background.
Yes, that's correct. In the 90s, there were virtually no wolves in Idaho, and there was a national effort, and it came down to Idaho also, to reintroduce the wolves. And so they reintroduced about 15 wolves in 1995. The Idaho legislature passed legislation to do it and funded it. And eventually one of the tribes in Idaho started to be the wolf management team for Idaho. So what people are missing, the main point is that the wolves were reintroduced by legislative action. There were virtually no wolves in Idaho. And the promise was that they would be managed. The promise was that it wouldn't affect hunters and ranchers and sheep ranchers and cattle ranchers. Now it's out of control, and all they are doing is what they were supposed to do in the first place, and that is manage the wolf population. So your commentators and your opinions seem to be that we are devastating a natural wolf population. We're not. What we're after is to reduce the total number of wolves. They're Canadian wolves. And in fact, it's interesting, most of the wolves that are introduced actually have dog DNA. Very few wolves that don't have some dog DNA in them. So it's really a complex problem, and it isn't a question of just going in and devastating a natural wolf population. That's the big misconception that most of your callers have.
Mark, thank you so much for calling. John in Bluffdale.
Yes, I can understand exactly why they want to get rid of the wolves, but something I have not heard to be brought up. How about relocating the wolves? Is that possible to other areas?
Well, I don't know anything about that, but we can certainly look into it. It sounds like this was quite controversial when they did it to begin with, and that it, you know, took what Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt at the time to put this in place for a few different states. But thanks for your take on that, John. We just actually don't know. But let's get to Kevin and Holiday. What's your take on the wolves? Vicious and vindictive, or necessary and overdue to start killing them off?
Hey, Debbie, I think it's nothing short of vindictive. I mean, I stand in the middle of the issue. I'm a hunter and an avid wildlife watcher. But a lot of the myths being perpetuated about wolves on the air today are just, they're crazy. Wolves are predators. They eat prey. They compete for prey just like hunters do. So that's why hunters want them eliminated. They want their full elk hunt back. You know, there's a lot of information that's just not correct. They're a natural species to this area that have been reintroduced after humans eliminated them in the first place. So, yes, they're a reintroduced population, but they're being taken out at a massive number, and it is barbaric.
Kevin from Holiday, thank you so much. Dave, this story just keeps growing new legs all the time. I mean, I'm now intrigued. And look, I'm not a hunter. This is not a topic I would normally come into the studio and go, like, we got to talk about this today. Now, that's all I want to talk about. So let's keep the phone calls coming in. Our next phone caller is Kate from North Ogden. Good morning. What do you think about the wolf controversy in Idaho?
We need to do it now before we kill a lot of people. My dad almost died getting rid of these vicious animals. The difference is it was coyotes other than wolves, but they're both basically vicious sheep killers. My dad, what happened was the loss of the sheep population from coyotes was so bad that the ranchers bought a plane, a Piper Cub. Then they paid pilots the gas and a driver to try to get rid of the coyotes because they were killing too many of the sheep. My dad volunteered for his friends. He was a World War II and Korean War fighter pilot who flew low and went in, and they bagged quite a few of the coyotes flying low, which he did. His job was to fly low in Korea and the others. He was flying in a Piper Cub and killing them with a shotgun. Now, if you anyone who knows about flying or guns knows that they were pretty low to be bagging the coyotes with a shotgun. He crashed doing this. They bagged several before he crashed. We almost lost my dad. And then one of these bleeding hearts, which normally I'm humanitarian, called daily while he was in the hospital recovering and said, "I'm glad you died. You crashed, you dirty old coyote hunter. I hope you die."
Oh, my goodness. This story is taking on all kinds of twists and turns. Thank you so much for sharing that story, Kate, and what your family went through up there in North Ogden. I want to squeeze one more call in. Preston from Tremonton. Good morning.
Yes.
So you live awfully close to the Idaho border. I'm going to assume that you're in favor of this law.
I'm in favor of getting them down to a manageable group so that, you know, up in Wyoming and Montana and Idaho, they started killing off the ranchers' cattle and stuff like that. Now, that's not saying they're managing the elk and the moose and stuff like that. The wildlife, they're starting to take man's livelihood away from them. So I think they need to manage them. And if the Humane Society back east wants them, we can trap them and send them back to them and let them manage them.
And you can imagine how expensive it would be to capture and relocate these wolves I would imagine extremely expensive. But the original agreement was that 150 wolves would be allowed in Idaho, Wyoming, and Montana. So 450 wolves in total, but in Idaho alone, the pack has grown to over 1,500. And the Idaho legislature has decided they're going to reduce it back down to the original agreement, down to 150. But there's no getting around it. That means 1,300 plus wolves will need to be killed.
Hey, if you remember yesterday on the show, we went in-depth with KSL News Radio's John Wojcik on a growing issue along North Temple, where a number of homeless people have set up encampments. Business owners are concerned for their safety. So today, KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson takes the question to city officials. What are you going to do about it? That's straight ahead.
Dujanovic.
Dave and Dujanovic have insights on the news you've come to appreciate.
The stories that are really important.
And now we're expanding Dave and Dujanovic from 9 all the way to noon.
Join them on KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.